Hey, what's going on, everybody? From the College of Professional and Continuing Education at Cal State Long Beach, I'm Dr. Pahul Sukhasikhan with Pacing Your Future, a podcast that charts the course of today's most exciting industries and the people that help shape them. Discover the many opportunities within the numerous fields we cover and be inspired by the stories of notable individuals who have paved their own paths. And just like our name suggests, our mission is to pace ahead, be proactive, adaptable, creative, and engaged. Whether you're seeking career insights, industry trends, or just simply inquisitive, let's pace your future together. And today we're joined by Jaime Gutierrez, who is the Executive Director of the Long Beach Workforce Innovation Network, or LBWIN. Within the Long Beach Economic Development Department, Mr. Gutierrez leads the Workforce Development Bureau, which operates the city's Adult Career Services Center and the Youth Career Services Center, aka Future LB, while advancing major personnel initiatives to strengthen talent pipelines. He provides strategic workforce and economic development leadership through planning, resource development, and investments in collaboration with business, industry, academia, federal, state, and nonprofit partners. With 25 years of public service, Mr. Gutierrez most recently served as the Chief Deputy Director of the California Employment Training Panel, where he managed a variety of complex specialized programs. While at the state, he also held multiple executive-level positions and brings 13 years of workforce development experience, including 5 years administering the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act for California. Welcome to the show, Jaime.
Thank you for having me.
So usually with this podcast, we like to start off with a fun question. Imagine your industry is the main character in a blockbuster movie because LA, or as most of our guests say, Long Beach. What's the plot and who are its main characters?
Bear with me for a second on this one, okay? Take you down a path. So picture this, Nakatomi Plaza, a towering marketplace filled with opportunity but under siege by unexpected disruptors like economic downturns, rapid tech changes, and evolving customer expectations. And just like our hero, John McClane, crawling through the air ducts, the workforce system is navigating tight deadlines, complex regulations, and limited resources to outwit the competition and keep our clients and our customers safe. So the main characters, obviously, are John McClane. First of all, that's all us. That's the workforce system. Resourceful, scrappy, constantly finding ways to survive in a high-pressure environment and fighting for long-term success. Then you've got the threat, Hans. He's the well-dressed but ruthless disruptor in this tale. That's the economic instability, aggressive competitors, and reduction in funding. And then you've got Al. That's our partner in crime, right? That's our trusted allies like Long Beach State, LBCC, and numerous other community-based organizations that help us and ensure that we get the things done that we need to do in order to help the community. And then there's the hostages. That's the really our clients, right? The job seekers, the businesses that we support. And their success depends on John ensuring that he gets everything done that he needs to done successfully. So against all odds, I guess we use grit, creativity, and a few unexpected yippee-ki-yay moments to turn the tables, restore stability, and make sure the building and our workforce system stand stronger than ever. So that, I say, would be my plot and the characters involved.
And hostages are clients, right? So that's what stuck out to me. So I know I introduced you briefly in the beginning.
Can I also add, though, because yeah. I know people are going to go, well, what? Yes, it is a Christmas movie. Okay, it is going to be a Christmas movie.
Previously, I worked at Paramount, and I was in charge of a Christmas kind of PowerPoint presentation, and I had a game of, like, can you name that Christmas movie? And I didn't put Die Hard, and I got tore down because of it, and people were like, what?
Expletives thrown to me. Yeah, it is definitely the number one Christmas movie.
You heard it first, guys. So I know I introduced you briefly in the beginning, but can you share with us the main focus of your current role and a little bit what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the executive director of the Long Beach Workforce Innovation Network, previously the Pacific Gateway Workforce Innovation Network. And we are part of the Economic Development Department within the city of Long Beach. My main focus and the main focus of my team is really to leverage all the resources available within the city to ensure that we provide the best information and resources to the talent, which is the job seekers here, as well as the employers in the Long Beach community. And we really focus on ensuring that we have great partnerships with community-based organizations, with the education system, with everybody that we can to ensure that that happens both for Long Beach, which is our primary focus, but also Signal Hill. They're a part of us as well.
Can't forget Signal Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to the Costco over there. How has your background in government, including your work with the California Employment Training Panel and Employment Development Department, influenced your leadership at LBGWIN?
Yeah, so I had an amazing time with the Employment Development Department and also with the Employment Training Panel. And part of that was really developing and assisting through the creation of laws, policies, and procedures. I think there's a saying out there, the laws are like sausage. It's better not to see them being made. I've been a part of that sausage making process, and it was a great learning experience, great opportunity for me. But I think what's important is really focusing on the people on the ground, the things that are happening at the ground level. And so that is one of the things that I took from my experience at the state is I now see what the policies, the procedures are. Are they being appropriately implemented at the ground level? And so I'm here and I'm excited about this opportunity because I can take that experience and say, okay, here's where things may need to change to accommodate for the needs of the community. Even though the law says this, the intent was, you know, this. And so we need to be able to make sure that we align those things. And I think that's the best experience I gained from it.
That's amazing. So I know that your position with LBGWIN is relatively new. Can you explain to folks, your time being there, what is LBGWIN and what are the main goals in supporting the local workforce?
Yeah, so the Long Beach Workforce Innovation Network is the local workforce development board here for the city of Long Beach and again, Signal Hill as well. We are a part of the system, which has 45 local boards total just in the state of California. And we are one of seven, actually, here within the county. The local boards are funded primarily through the Federal Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. The funding goes from the federal government to the state via the Department of Labor. The funding is then distributed by the state to each local board using a number of different criteria. For example, unemployment insurance is one of those, and then the population size is another. There's a couple more, but that's the basis of it. The main goal of the local board is to function as the strategic conveners and decision makers that connect policy, funding, training, and businesses to build stronger local talent and create pipelines that meet the needs of both the job seekers and the employers in the region and in the specific community. So in our case, Long Beach and Signal Hill, that's our focus for LBGWIN.
Nice. Like looking inside, like what is your vision for LBGWIN and how do you plan to move that vision forward?
Yeah, thank you. So there's a lot of great things already going on in LBGWIN, at LBGWIN. I'm very fortunate that I have stepped into a position and an organization that's already doing some great work. But my approach is that we can always do better. So I would like to take a human-centered design approach to improve the things that LBGWIN is doing and becoming more customer-centric as part of that process. And when I say customers, I mean all three, right? Job seekers, employers, and our partners. They're part of our customer-centric approach. And I don't want to come off as saying that we're not already doing those things. We are doing some of those things. But like I said before, I think it's always important to look at how you can improve in everything that you do, right? So I believe that we can get better. And I plan to work with our team to do this through improvements of customer feedback. We want to make sure that we hear from all our partners, our community, and then focus on integrating services. So we have a lot of partners that we work with, and I want to make sure that we are collaborating, coordinating with all of them, and they are being a part of the process of moving us forward.
Nice. I think that's a great segue into the next question. You know, you mentioned humans centered design and customer centric foci. So what are the key programs does LB1 offer to help residents build skills and grow their careers?
So we offer a variety of different programs. So I'll highlight just a few to start off with. So the first one and the primary one, I would say, as a Title I recipient is training. So we actually can pay for individuals to receive training. So if they want to switch, for example, if they're currently in hospitality and they want to switch and become a truck driver, right, they can come to us. We can then provide as long as they meet eligibility, that's always a part of it with We All Right. But we can then identify good training programs for them, and then we can pay 100% of that training. So if it costs $10,000 to pay that to have that training, we can pay for that. Right. So that's the first one. I think that's the biggest one, is that folks don't realize that we actually are able to pay for that training. The other thing I would say is that we can pay for work experience and what we call on-the-job training. So if an employer is looking to hire individuals, but maybe they don't have all of the funding that's available to be able to support another employee, if they take somebody on from our program, we can pay for their salaries, right? So that's a huge benefit to the individual that's coming in and getting the training, but also a huge benefit to that employer, because they're ultimately able to get the support and assistance they need through another resource, another body. And then the third thing is we provide supportive services. And what that means is that if somebody is looking to either get employed or upskill, but they need help with transportation, or they need help with clothing, or they need help with, paying for rent that particular day, as long as they meet our criteria, the eligibility requirements under WIOA, then we can help pay for those types of things through the WIOA program. So I think those are probably the biggest things. And we provide, obviously, all of that's done through an assessment process, right? If somebody comes in through the doors, then we do an assessment on them to determine they may be eligible for as part of those. But all of that's available, and then some. We've got a lot of programs that we could potentially meet and identify and provide assistance to participants with.
That's great, Jaime. I mean, going off script a little bit, because like you mentioned on-the-job training, and one of the hot topic things that's being talked about right now is apprenticeships. How does that correlate to on-the-job training and things that you've been just mentioning?
Yeah, so apprenticeships is a big topic right now. Yeah. There's a lot of federal funding that is moving in that direction, right, where they're providing now funding for apprenticeship programs. And quite frankly, one of the things that they're doing at the federal level is tying apprenticeships into the WIOA program and systems. So they're now, it actually just came out, there's a report that just came out. I saw it yesterday, so I don't have all the details of it. But essentially what they're looking at, of all the participants that you've assisted and enrolled under the WIOA program, how many of those are tied to apprenticeship programs, right? And so that is a key component of how we're going to be able to move forward. The funding is shifting, and there's a need to be able to support it through both pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship programs. And we are looking at leveraging that. We're looking at creating pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship programs. We're actually collaborating with LBUSD as well to try to figure out how we can build some of those pre-apprenticeship programs at the earlier level under the youth programs that they have. So using that to our benefit, we're hoping to be able to then gain some additional funding to support those programs.
That's amazing, because I know at the college here at Cal State Long Beach, in the College of Professional and Continuing Education, we're trying to leverage apprenticeships programs for our students and working with LBWIN and different industry partners, particularly like right now discussing projects with the Department of Apprenticeship Standards with Nicole Picada and Andrea Harlan. Shout out to you fine ladies. So that's great.
This is great, right? Division of Apprenticeship Standards, they're fantastic.
They're so amazing. They're so helpful, yeah.
And they have a lot of great programs too, the Erica Grant and a few others that really do support apprenticeships in a great way.
Yeah. Moving on, I think that was apropos to what we were talking with our next section, training workforce and strengthening economies. How are new industries and job roles changing the future of work in Long Beach? And how can programs like LB Wind grow to meet the needs of both big companies and small startups?
Yeah, so Long Beach continues to have some amazing industries that continue to evolve. Industries like healthcare, transportation and logistics, hospitality, manufacturing. But we are seeing a lot of great growth in the aerospace and aviation industry. That's a big one for us right now. Thank you, Mayor. He's obviously done a great job of bringing a lot of fantastic companies to us here. And we're seeing also a lot of really good growth in the entertainment industry. We're hoping to make the city of Long Beach a hub for entertainment moving forward as well, which is why this podcast is perfect, right? It's fantastic. But in order to meet the evolving needs, I think training programs have to have a design of partnership in that process, meaning partnership with the businesses, right? We at LB Wind and all our partners like Long Beach, Long Beach State, continue to do a great job of engaging the businesses to find out what their particular needs are. And I think that's the best way to evolve through that process, is to make sure that we are hearing and listening to the businesses, the employers that are involved, because they're the ones that are going to be able to say, yes, this works for us or it doesn't.
Nice. So the big thing that has been talked about in the news, and I mean, that's kind of made its way into everyday life, is AI, right? Like, we use a lot of AI on campus, and we know that a lot of businesses use AI and new training models. In what ways does innovation like tech, AI, and these training models help workforce growth across different industries?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Obviously, technology is wonderful, but at the same time, I think things like AI can be a little scary to people, right? So my approach and what I think is that AI should be used as a tool to be able to integrate into the different things that we do. So I'll give you a couple of examples of some of the things that we're doing. So for us, we actually have once a month, we provide a training on AI and how to use AI. So specifically around like ChatGPT, that type of thing. We train participants that are interested on how to use it to be able to improve their resume, to be able to do job searches, all of that type of stuff, right? That aligns a little bit better to what they need in their career path. So we use it that way. But we also are looking at, in collaboration with the city, obviously, we're working with the technology department within our city to be able to use some AI platforms to support our case managers. And we do that by being able to have a case manager be able to identify the needs of those individuals. So what we're planning on doing, because we're working on it right now, we haven't implemented yet, but we want to, is that we're going to have a set of questions that we're going to ask the individuals as part of it. That information gets put into this AI system. No PII, so all of that is out of it, but that basic information is provided, and then it will help our case managers be able to determine what is the best path for this individual, right? It'll provide the options and say, if they take this training, this is the ability that they have to be able to be successful in that. And so we're trying to leverage AI in that way to be able to use it and say, okay, this is how we can support our community.
Nice. And along with innovation comes challenges, you know, as most of us know. What challenges and opportunities does LB Wind face in making workforce development more inclusive and resilient for Long Beach residents?
So biggest challenges, I think, are for LB Wynn, first and foremost is funding, right? I mentioned earlier at the beginning, funding is one of the most difficult things that we have to deal with. It is constantly being reduced from the federal level. There was a report from the National Skills Coalition that came out a couple of months ago that showed that the funding for the workforce system was reduced from almost $10 billion in 2001 to now a little over $2.5 billion today. So that's a significant reduction over that period of time. What that means is that we're having to do more with less, right? And that seems to be the biggest challenge for us. So how we're addressing that challenge, we're addressing it in two different ways. First, we're looking at what other opportunities are there through grants and different things like that, right? So we're able to figure out if the state is providing different grants for things like the High Road Training Partnership. And we take advantage of that. There's also philanthropic funds. And so we actually leverage some philanthropic funds to be able to provide services and support to communities and areas that maybe aren't able to be supported with federal dollars. So that's how we try to take advantage of different opportunities that are available to continue to support the community here in Long Beach.
Nice. And how can educational providers like CPACE work with LB Wynn to make training programs more accessible and better aligned with local business needs?
I think I would say aligning to education and workforce systems and business needs starts with active, ongoing dialogue between all of the different departments, organizations, so between the educators, the employers, and the workforce leaders. When we co-design programs based on real-time labor market data and industry input, then we can equip the workers with in-demand skills that lead directly to jobs, right? This is not only helpful to the businesses to help them grow and grow their talent pipelines, but also drives job creation and opens pathways for Long Beach residents to achieve greater economic mobility.
Nice. Because we're the College of Professional Continuing Education and basically a university extension, we deal with a lot of adult learners and we deal with a lot of folks who LB Wynn helps, like who are trying to pivot and reimagine their lives. What are the best ways to support adult learners, especially those changing careers or re-entering the workforce?
So I think the best way to do that is to, in our case, for adult learners, and I'll speak just from the LB Wynn perspective, right? So the best way for us to really focus on the adult learners is to really focus on case management. And what that means is what we found is that if we engage with them often, that there's going to be more success there, allowing them the opportunity to complete the training. A lot of the times what we find is if we're not engaging with them on a regular basis, checking in to find out how they're doing, is it working, do you need anything? Again, part of the supportive services that we provide. If we're not doing that on a regular basis, then what ends up happening is folks, for one reason or another, end up dropping out of the courses and then not completing it, which puts them down a different path, right? Our objective is to try to make sure that they are successful in completing the training programs that they're in. And so really having a more hands-on approach to case management allows us to be able to do that. That does mean that the workload increases a bit, right? The more engagement you have with participants, the more the workloading does increase. So we have our case managers tend to have a pretty high number of cases that they're working both actively and follow up on. But I think that's the best way to make sure that there is success for adult participants, not only adult, but youth participants. It's the same way for youth participants as well, is that, you know, as long as you can engage and keep them engaged and involved, and as long as you're checking in on them, and as long as you're finding out what the barriers are that they're running into, and then you're helping them remove those barriers, then they're going to be successful.
I mean, that's, I think, the tenets of education, right? Like showing up for the community, showing up for your students. So I think it like perfectly aligns with the work of LB Wynn, right? And this is what we do with our podcast, or what we're trying to do, show up for those who feel like they don't have a seat at the table. Something I like to say a lot. How do we give access or provide access to folks that thought certain arenas or certain industries were closed off to them, right? So having this conversation with folks like you, Jaime, and, you know, opening the table up, right?
So yeah, and that's the intent of WIOA, right? So, and that's why I think what we do, and not only when I say we, I'm talking about not only LB Wind, but all our partners are a part of this, right? Long Beach State is one of those partners. LBCC is another, LBUSD, and then all of the community-based organizations that we work with, whether it's April Parker Foundation or UCC or Centro Cha, Orale, all of those organizations, right? So I think that's a key component of this is we're all part of this workforce system, and we're working together, we can create success for the community. I have been a part of, obviously, you know, coming from Northern California, the Sacramento area, I know, and I've been a part of that at that state level. And what you have here in Long Beach is very unique to that. I think there's truly a desire to build collaboration, to remove the silos, and to be able to work as a team in betterment of the community. I think that's one of the things that I've seen here at Long Beach that I really love and appreciate is that is there. And I think together we can figure out how to move everything forward that way.
Some of the things you just mentioned resonate and hit home for me because I, as I mentioned earlier to you, I'm originally from Oakland. And, you know, I see so much of Oakland in Long Beach. People may not agree with me, but, you know, I love Oakland. I love Long Beach. You know, they both are two cities that I feel like were built by working class families and like were cradled in hands that like, you know, worked hard, you know, like wanted to see a better future. And I think, you know, working at Cal State Long Beach, just to echo what you've been saying, we have a brilliant and beautiful ecosystem right here that is both fostered in collaboration and communication, creating success, as you say, for the community. So thank you for that, Jaime. Something I want to talk about is like, because we're living in kind of tumultuous times and colorful times, you know, it's very colorful.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Etch a sketch, smelling your markers, colorful times. Given the evolving political, regulatory, and environmental landscape, how does LB Wind adapt to ensure its continued success?
it's a kind of a loaded question, I will say, but I'll try to answer it in the best and probably most politically way I can. I'll start by just saying that, you know, at the beginning we talked about John McClane, right? The workforce system is scrappy. LB Wind and all our local boards continue to figure out how to adapt in this system. I will say that the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act is the federal law that we must follow. But that law, when it went into effect in 2014, it was signed into law in 2014 and then went into effect in California in 2017, the intent of the law was really to serve the most difficult to serve communities, right? That was the intent of that law, and that is still in place. So even with the challenges today, what at least LB Wind's approach is, what our approach is in the community, is to go back to the focus of that law, right? And so we're going to continue to provide services and support the communities that we serve, and that includes everyone, right? Again, the most difficult to serve. Well, that's what we're trying to do. And in doing so, I think we're going to be able to provide access to education, to training, and to supportive services for better employment opportunities, better services to the community. For me, it's really about making sure that it's there, it's available, that people know about it, that they know that this is a no-cost thing for them. I think a lot of times people go into something and they think that they're going to have to pay for it, right? Oh, am I going to have to pay back all of this money that you're paying for this training. No, it's free. It's a service that we provide. It's available to you. It is free. We want to make sure that people take advantage of it, especially in the underserved communities. So we're going to continue to focus on that. That's the focus, even though there's a lot of things going on at the federal level. Our focus continues to be the same, which is serve the communities that are in most need.
And staying on that tangent of being very hopeful, right, and community-based, the colorful aspects, right? How can LB Wynn and Cal State Long Beach collaborate to create meaningful opportunities for students and graduates, ensuring that they're well-prepared for the local job market while also supporting the university's academic and career development goals?
So I think there's a couple of different things. Honestly, there's a lot of opportunity here for collaboration between our two organizations. One of the ways that I would say we should look at is to bring resources on campus, right? And I've started to have some conversation, LB Wynn resources, but started to have some conversations with the leadership here about that. Obviously, the reduction in funding makes things a little bit difficult to be able to do that, because that means a body that we don't have at our center, one of the other centers, right? But I think we can figure out how to make that work. But we can be the bridge from NYSWE, LB Wynn, can be the bridge from the classroom to the workplace via some of the things like work experience, some of the things like on-the-job training, some of the things like internship programs, so that when students graduate, they are not just getting a degree, but they're leaving with the skills and the network and the confidence they need to thrive in whatever it is that their chosen field is.
Amazing. And because we're talking about the Cal State system, we're in Cal State Long Beach right now. I heard you're a CSU alum. As a CSU Sacramento alum, how did your time there shape your career, and what skills or experiences have stayed with you the most?
Yeah, so first off, stingers up, right? Sac State. I very much enjoyed my time there. I actually met my beautiful wife there and have two amazing daughters because of that that time and that particular meet cue. I call it a meet cue because both of my daughters are in film, so they'll get what that means. I guess I probably would not be here today if it had not been for that college experience. Coming from a low-income household, my college experience took me down a path of public service that I don't think I would have found otherwise. I think that, a lot of people may disagree, but so my major is psychology. That's what my major was in from Sac State. A lot of people say, well, you know, folks going to college, they're not going into the field or the industry that they get their degree in, right? Some people say I'm one of those people, right? I was a psych major. I got my degree in psychology, but here I am working in the public sector and doing workforce. How does that all tie? I actually do think it does tie. Yeah, my psych degree and everything I learned from Sac State as part of that has actually helped me a lot through my career. It's helped me understand people. It's helped me understand how to be empathetic, compassionate with people. It's helped me to understand how to manage staff in different ways, that people learn different ways, that people react differently to different things. So that experience at Sac State and everything I learned there has really driven me down this path of public sector and has allowed me to grow in this area because of that. I understand that, you know, college isn't for everybody. I understand that college can be very expensive and not everybody can afford it. Quite frankly, you know, like I said, I've got two daughters in college, so I understand the expense side of it. But I also think that college does provide a very unique opportunity. It's an experience for young people or not so young people to be able to really understand what it's like to be in an environment like that and grow as a learner, right? As an opportunity to just gain knowledge. And I think that's one of the benefits of any college experience. So I would say that my experience really helped me become the person that I am today. So I really appreciate Sex Date for that. I also tried to talk my daughters into going to Sex Date. None of them would buy into it, unfortunately. But I really loved the school and really enjoyed my time.
That's amazing. So I have one last question, and it's about future and impact. As someone who is deeply invested in empowering our community through workforce development, what are your hopes for the future of Long Beach's workforce, especially in creating pathways that uplift local populations and prepare young people for the jobs of tomorrow?
So great question and segue. So my hope is that Long Beach's workforce truly reflects the diversity, creativity, and resilience of our community. That means building clear, inclusive pathways so that every resident can see themselves in the jobs of tomorrow, whether that's in aerospace, healthcare, entertainment, or the transportation and logistics industry. There's a saying, give someone a fish and you feed them for a day, teach them to fish and you feed them for a lifetime. There are programs like unemployment insurance, for example, that will provide immediate assistance to those in need. That's giving them the fish, right? But the workforce system is about teaching that person the skill sets they need and providing them the connections to build a career. And by doing so, empowering them and their community for a lifetime. That's the teach them how to fish part. And that's why I love being a part of the workforce system, is because we're here to teach people how to fish, to be self-sufficient, to gain the experiences that they need to be successful in their careers.
That's amazing. I think, you know, it's like similar to the work that we do here at the College of Professional and Continuing Education. I really think, like, I mean, this is like beating a dead horse, but giving access, right? You know, stretching your hand out and being like, you know, come with me, right? You don't want to leave these folks by themselves to fend for themselves, because which pathway do they go, you know? And so you're giving them routes to some a better life potentially, right? Yeah. So thank you for joining us, Jaime. We really appreciate the insight and the conversation we had with you today.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. And again, Die Hard, yes, a Christmas movie.
So. Die Hard, yes.
Thank you for tuning in to Pacing Your Future. We hope today's installment has inspired you and provided valuable insights into the dynamic world of industry and innovation. Stay tuned with us for more stories, opportunities, and expert advice to help you navigate and shape your future. Until next time, keep pacing your future with confidence and curiosity.